Most of you know by now, I'm Matthew Richardson, and I'm a former fellow at the University of Illinois. Today I'll be talking about tips for publishing educational and scientific data collected in the classroom. So I'm a PhD candidate in ecology, and I have very little publication experience, with only 4 publications within the field of science and 1 within the field of education. So you may be wondering what makes me qualified to give this talk. Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not 100% sure that I am qualified. However, I promise you that I'm going to discuss very little of my own personal publication experience. What I'm actually presenting today are the results of a 35-question survey that I sent to other participants in the GK through 12 program. And all of these participants had published a peer-reviewed manuscript during the funding cycles 2006 to 2007 or 2007 to 2008. I found participants for the survey by contacting the National Science Foundation and just asking them for all of the publications that resulted from the program during those 2 years. When possible, I found contact information for the first author and I emailed them my survey. 13 people were kind enough to return my survey, and it's going to be largely their experiences that you hear about. I'm also hoping that I'm not too long-winded and I have about 3 or 4 minutes left at the end of my talk so I can open it up to the floor and hopefully some of you have some ideas as well. I decided to do this project because we do great work in the GK through 12 program that needs to be shared. However, I would argue that a relatively limited number of publications actually comes out of this program. Looking at the 2 funding years, there was only 24 publications. Another reason why I wanted to give this talk is because many fellows in my program are interested in publishing their material, in part because the axiom in our field is publish or perish. However, it's often tricky for traditional experimental scientists to figure out how to publish in a new discipline. So the overall goal of my talk is to lower this barrier for an experimental scientist trying to publish in an educational or a social science journal. While it may seem a daunting task to learn how to publish in a new discipline, I thought I would start by giving all of us a little bit of hope. Most of the authors in my survey were not in the discipline of education. However, they did manage to publish in educational journals. Also, most of the respondents were fellows or early career scientists with very little experience publishing anything before they had published anything dealing with the GK through 12 program. To further illustrate this point, only 23% of the respondents had published more than 10 articles in their own field, and only 23% had ever published more than 1 article in a discipline of education prior to publishing their work from GK 12. Another sentiment I've often heard is that it's very difficult to learn the educational literature, to delve into something that's outside of the field of science. And so we often do not know what or how much to cite from the educational literature. However, what I found was that you do not actually need to be an expert on the educational literature. Most of the articles cited fewer than 3 sources from the educational literature, and this is in part due to the types of manuscripts that people from GK through 12 are publishing. If you're publishing something like a practical application to use in the classroom or some sort of novel teaching aid, oftentimes a journal requests that you keep the number of citations to a minimum to increase the readability of your article. There are 4 general types of manuscripts that people from the GK through 12 program are successful at publishing. And by far and away, the most common type of manuscript are these practical applications. So some sort of a classroom activity, much of, kind of like you heard from many of the presenters today. The other types of manuscripts are evaluation of the impact of the GK through 12 program on GK 12 educators, fellows, or students. Research reports focusing on the methodology, theory, or philosophy of teaching, or descriptions of a novel teaching aid, such as technology in the classroom. Now, if you're doing some quick math, you'll notice my percentages add up to more than 100%. That's because the survey respondents could click more than 1 answer for this. So, our manuscripts may include some components from multiple groups, but by and large, like I said, they are practical applications. Picking an appropriate target journal is extremely important because it helps with experimental design, it helps to design appropriate assessment, and it may ultimately decide whether your manuscript is accepted or rejected. Because this is such a crucial part of, you know, the writing phase, I'm going to spend a few slides talking about how to pick an appropriate journal. The survey respondents, when they were trying to figure out where to publish their work, they went to three primary sources. First were colleagues within education, the second were colleagues within science, and the third source was some sort of a database, such as ISI Web of Science, or you may know it as Web of Knowledge. So after you've, you know, kind of done some digging around, maybe you have a, you know, group of several journals you're thinking about publishing in, there's a couple other questions that are very important to ask yourself to see if your work fits a particular journal. First, does your work meet the quality standards of the publication? And second, do you cite articles from a particular journal? Oftentimes, if you're citing articles from a particular journal, this may indicate that your work is appropriate for that journal. Also, you may get some bonus points from editors because they like it when you cite their journal because it increases their impact factor. Another prime way to pick a journal is to read other manuscripts published in the target journal. Most of the authors who responded to my survey did this, and they said it helped select the journal for submission of their manuscript, and it also helped them select methods of data evaluation and with style and format when it came time for writing up their manuscript. There are many journals that publish the type of work we do in GK-12, and if you remember earlier, I said there were 24 manuscripts published from GK-12 during a 2-year period. Well, this is a list of all of those journals. The ones that are highlighted in blue had multiple manuscripts submitted and published in them. You'll notice that most of these are educational and social science journals, with the exception of bioscience. Now, I'm focusing my talk on these educational journals, but it's important to remember that there are many national, international, or even regional science journals that will publish the type of work we're doing in GK-12. Once you've more or less picked your target journal, again, go back and read some of the articles published in that because it will help you organize your study and it will help you determine what information you need to include in your manuscript in order to get it published. For example, does the journal commonly publish qualitative data, quantitative data, feedback from students, statistics, photographs? Since you're working with human subjects, you need permission slips from the students. Or if you're doing an outside activity and using public lands, do you need to have proof of permits to use that land? In the next several slides, I'll focus on the types of data that educational journals often use and will publish. Starting with scientific data, this does not seem to be overly important. It was only included in 21% of the articles. However, it might be necessary if you're publishing a lesson or some sort of a novel teaching aid, because both reviewers and teachers who might use these activities want to know that the activity has a sound scientific basis. They also may want to compare the results they get in their classroom to any results that you came up with. And what I mean by scientific data is simply the scientific results that the students got from doing your activity. So you may remember this figure from Jan's talk earlier, the biodiversity project, where the students were trying to correlate plant biodiversity, seen on the x-axis, to arthropod abundance, seen on the y-axis. So each one of these data points indicates the data that a single student collected. So we combined all of the data for all of the students into this, you know, nice basic figure and submitted that along with our manuscript. Educational data, not surprisingly, is much more important to include than scientific data. It's included 100% of the time. However, the types of educational data can vary. Most often, the data included was qualitative, meaning that there were teacher or instructor observations or field notes, or student interviews or surveys. Quantitative data was used to a much lesser extent, but these came in the forms of pre- or post-activity quizzes or exams, essays, homework assignments, follow-up activities in which students had to apply their new knowledge, something that's actually graded. Even though educational data is a fundamental requirement in order to get your work published, it does not have to be anything too complex. This is the actual pre and post quiz that we gave the students in eighth grade setting and that we published along with our manuscript. You can see it's only 6 questions long and it focuses on a few key elements that we wanted the students to learn from doing our activity. So obviously the students took this before the activity, after the activity, and we did a simple t-test to show that their knowledge improved from doing our lesson. And these sort of, you know, simple assessments of the students are acceptable for many journals. Statistics were infrequently used. Like I mentioned, I included some basic stats in my publication, but educational data was analyzed statistically only in 36% of the articles, and scientific data was analyzed statistically in only 29% of the articles. Visuals are very important to include. I'm going to skip down to that last bullet point that says that no visuals were included in only 14% of the articles. Oftentimes in the educational field, they like things such as tables, graphs, pictures of students during the activity, or the pictures and materials included in the activity. Again, this can help with readability of your manuscript. It can help a teacher in the classroom repeat your activity. And like I was saying earlier, this oftentimes does match up with the science field where we include visuals for the same reason, but you know, the types of visuals included in science journals can vary a little bit. Now once you've gone through these beginning stages where you've picked a target journal, maybe you've already done the assessment, some statistics, you organized all of your visuals, there's a couple places you can go when you're actually writing up the manuscript. So when you're starting the writing phase, read the author guidelines. 100% of the journals had guidelines online, and these are extremely helpful to read because it can help you with style and format, because you want to make sure your manuscript follows a journal style pretty much exactly. Another place to seek help when you're in the writing phase is from people. 100% of the articles were co-authored, and most of the time, the co-author was someone with expertise that matched the journal's focus. In addition, most of the articles were proofread, and again, this proofreader was someone that had expertise that matched the journal's focus. So to start summarizing some of the main themes from the survey, I'm going to start presenting short answers that the survey respondents provided. I asked them to list 3 top pieces of advice they would give experimental scientists when trying to publish in the educational or social science literature. And the respondents focused primarily on the journal. They said to know your target audience, pick an appropriate journal for submission of your work, follow the author guidelines and formatting, read other articles and cite them, and know what the acceptable types of assessment are for a journal. They also tended to mention people in their advice. Get a proofreader or a collaborator to help you out, especially that first time around trying to break into a new discipline. This could be crucial. Some other pieces of advice that weren't echoed by too many people, but I especially liked, were to have a great idea that teachers will want to use in their classroom. If you're doing a practical activity, make sure you include the educational standards that your activity is targeting. When designing an activity to use in the classroom, think of yourself as a student and what helped you or would have motivated you to pursue science as a career. And when writing, try to tell a good story, and to that end, minimize jargon. I next asked them what facilitated their success that first time when they went to publish their work. And you'll notice that most of these responses are the same sort of things that they would give as advice to all of us. They said, have a good idea, get help from people, have a strong data set, do a lot of editing, not only when you're writing up the initial time, but if a journal comes back and says, we'd like you to fix this or consider this, take the journal's comments into consideration and keep plugging away at it. and also select an appropriate journal for submission of your work. And the last major question I asked them was, what else would have helped them to publish that first time around if they had to go back and do it all over again? By far and away, the most common response was one-on-one help from an expert in the field. They also would have liked a clear idea of where to submit their work, more time, and incentives from the department to publish this material. A common sentiment from the survey respondents was that they know they need to publish this work to be taken seriously by their colleagues, but at the same time, there aren't as many incentives provided by the department to delve into this sort of thing compared to their science careers. So in summary, if you're interested in publishing your work from GK-12, you do not need excessive citations or data, but make sure you focus on educational data and have some good forms of assessment in there. And statistics are not normally too important. Visualizations definitely help. And I think, you know, everyone who presented today had fantastic ideas that could be published in a journal. So, you know, this first one up here, you can do it with a good idea. I think most of us are already there. I think it's, you know, the second and third steps there. Get some help doing it and pay attention to detail when you're writing. Overall, though, it seems a little bit like publishing is publishing. And what I mean by that is many of the things that make us successful at publishing in science, such as paying attention to the detail, getting colleagues to help us out, having a great idea with sound assessment, are the same sort of things that will help us to publish in the educational literature as well. And with that, I would just like to acknowledge everyone who actually responded to my survey, my GK-12 program, and the National Science Foundation. And with that, I will take questions. And also, please, if you have any other tips to share, if you've published material, have ideas, please share it with the group. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Under what conditions do you have to be concerned about internal review boards if you're doing studies with students?
The question was, to what extent do you have to be concerned with internal review boards if you're doing studies with students? I don't think I'm the best person to answer that one. With the activity we published, it was primarily a practical activity with a little bit of assessment. And it's required for any data we're collecting from students. If we take pictures of students, the students already had to sign permission slips at the start of the GK-12 program. If they didn't sign those permission slips, we didn't use them at all. But I'm not sure really what the protocol is if you're delving deeper into, you know, student learning or those sorts of things. Does anybody else have any ideas on that, Susan?
The evaluator on your team should have set up the IRBs ahead of time and told the amendments and you have to work with your evaluator to get the amendments and expect it to take some time.
All prompts, all assessment tools that are used for evaluating
Go ahead.
So what was your favorite paper of all those papers you looked at?
Oh boy. The question was, what was my favorite paper out of all the papers I looked at? What really struck me the most is, even though a lot were focusing on practical activities, they were extremely diverse, because of course all the GK-12 programs are extremely diverse. So I'm not sure if I have one particular favorite, but there were some great ideas for every single grade level imaginable, including ideas that you could transfer to the college level.